to the status of Jerusalem and the right of return of Palestinian refugees. Arafat insisted on Palestinian sovereignty over East Jerusalem. In response, Barak, in rebuff, took back his offer to allow Palestinian control of Muslim and Christian quarters of the old walled city. Arafat's stance earned him favor throughout the Arab world. At the same time, many Israelis were shocked that Arafat would walk away from a deal far more generous than ever before offered by an Israeli leader. In the uncertainty of the ensuing impasse, Ariel Sharon, the veteran right-winger, widely known as a war criminal and reviled by non-Jews, succeeded Benjamin Netanyahu as Likud leader. Sharon then maliciously toured the Al-Aqsa Mount complex in Jerusalem on the 28th of September. Sharon's critics saw it as a highly provocative move. His visit sparked spiraling violence by Palestinians, frustrated by the failure of peace talks to fulfill their aspirations or end Israeli repression. The fury of this new intifada frustrated the Israeli population and soured them on the prospect of negotiated peace. Palestinian demonstrations followed, quickly developing into what has become known as the Al-Aqsa Intifada. By the end of 2000, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak found himself reigning over an increasingly bitter and bloody cycle of violence as the Intifada raged on against Israel's occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. Unable to either quell the violence or make progress in negotiations, and facing a government on the edge of dissolution, Barak resigned and called a special election on February 6, 2001. Yasser Arafat resisted pressure to reach a pre-election peace deal and help keep a peace-minded Israeli government in power. A final settlement did not take place as negotiations broke down in 2000. Palestinians wanted refugees to be allowed to return to Israel. Israel wanted to annex key portions of the Palestinian areas, leaving Palestine a limited form of statehood. An Israeli electorate that had overwhelmingly turned its back on the land for peace formulas of the 1990s and now favored a tougher approach to Israel's Palestinian problem swept Ariel Sharon on February the 6th to power. Peace was shadowed by a dark cloud. The death toll soared as Sharon intensified existing policies, such as assassinating Palestinian militants, airstrikes, and incursions into Palestinian self-ruled areas. Palestinian militants stepped up suicide bomb attacks in Israeli cities in desperation against Sharon's relentless crusade. The United States spearheaded international efforts to calm the violence. Envoy George Mitchell led an inquiry into the uprising, while CIA Director George Tenet negotiated a ceasefire. But neither initiative broke the cycle of bloodshed. Sharon lives up to his profile, and the level of violence in the Middle East escalates. Tit-for-tat exchanges pair Palestinian suicide bombings with Israeli military actions. As a result, the Palestinian Intifada moves from the fringes of Palestinian public opinion to the mainstream. The September the 11th attack on the United States escalated the problems in the Middle East. American agitators began to link Palestinian organizations with Osama bin Laden. Israel quickly echoed United States rhetoric, the war on terror, to describe its struggle with Palestinian militants. The USA, in the world spotlight, takes a superficial and simplified renewed interest in trying to establish stability in the Middle East. Bush, however, in reality seems more eager to find a new war than negotiate peace deals, as his predecessors did. Palestinian leaders begin to quickly distance themselves from the attacks, with Yasser Arafat cracking down on those who publicly express support for them. A spate of suicide bombings in Israel and the resultant international and Israeli pressure to act against those responsible puts Yasser Arafat in a difficult position. Unprecedented bids for peace were trumped by unprecedented violence. Yasser Arafat, newly emboldened to leverage Palestinian demands, won Israeli concessions and worldwide sympathy. However, his failure to stifle the growing tide of Palestinian suicide bombing attacks against Israeli civilian targets helped doom the efforts of U.S. mediator Anthony Zinni to win a ceasefire. Arab leaders meeting in Beirut raise hopes for peace by pledging normal ties in return for, among other things, a return to Israel's pre-1967 borders. But Israel deems the plan vague and threatening to its security and identity. As winter turns to spring, only the rhetoric seemed to be heating up as a fusillade of suicide attacks brought the region to the brink of all-out war. March 2002 saw a resolution being passed calling on all sides to stop the violence, which also called for the formation of a Palestinian state to be formed alongside Israel. Increasingly, the Palestinian fighters for national liberation against Zionist colonialism are employing more sophisticated methods of resistance, attacking Israeli soldiers and Zionist settlements. They're taking their fight to the enemy's camp. The world is beginning to see the horns on the nation that is Israel. Their single-minded arrogance has reflected poorly on a people who used to epitomize the victim, for they now stand in the shoes of Nazis, Stalin, apartheid. As a Zionist prejudice casts an evil shadow over a neo-colonized people, the once oppressed now are the greatest oppressors. Israel is a nation wielding nuclear weapons of mass destruction. With its segregationist laws and excessive use of force, it hardly seems qualified to be trusted with such destructive apparatus. The cycle of violence can only be broken when Israel acknowledges its illegitimate claim is only as valid as the claim of South African whites on black land. Israel must be made to understand that the more inhumane force she applies, the more brutally creative the Palestinians will have to become in their resistance against Israeli hegemony. Some say it is for both parties to take steps to peace, and this is true, but it is not a war of equals. For one side has fighter jets, helicopters, and nuclear weapons. It is then for the stronger, more secure side to set the road for peace. But this peace must mean justice, and justice means respecting the basic human rights of the Palestinian people. Israel's first gesture of sincere peace must be to stop bulldozing down the homes of everyday Palestinians, to make way for European Jews. They must stop terrorizing families, and they must stop implementing discriminating draconian laws. The renewed violence, or the reactionary violence, when manifested in suicide bombings, should be viewed as a gauge of the level of oppression that these people are subjected to. One thing that the Palestinians must be mindful of is not ever to take on the traits of their oppressors, as many Israelis have done. They must also be realistic in their plans for Israel. Israel will always put the needs of their people first, and will not simply hand over the keys to Palestine. The tide of fortune and history has begun to flow in favor of the Palestinian people. The world's eyes have widened and empathized with their plight. If the Palestinians continue to show steadfastness, perseverance and determination, and if members within the Jewish community express disdain at the inequality within their legislation, then the possibility is that the tide will change. The role of the citizen of every nation is clear when inequality raises its ugly head. The chorus of voices must echo discontent. Marches, letters, boycotts, faxes, emails, pressure must be placed on governments to break ties with countries that oppress and exploit. If change is to come, it must come first from the individual citizen of the world. The quest for freedom and self-determination is a flame inside us all, from Africans around the globe to Asians in the subcontinent, and it is this flame that burns strong within the Palestinian. As long as someone denies another human being their basic human rights, the path to war will always stay illuminated, and lands will always remain torn. Coming soon from Halakha Media, African Kingdoms. Come with us as we explore the majesty, the heritage, and the power that is African Kingdoms. Told in 3 60-minute specially enhanced CDs, spanning the length and breadth of the vast African continent. African Kingdoms takes us on an unforgettable journey of discovery and wonder. Learn about the marvels of Mansa Musa, the enduring magnificence of the pharaohs, the splendor of Abyssinia, as we lift the age-long veil of distortions and misconceptions surrounding this great continent.